Well, thank you very much, Pastor Pat, for all that encouragement and warmth in the Lord. Let me tell you, let me just share this with you. I'm reading the Bible. I try to read through the Bible and finish if I can. I'm hoping this time around I can actually try and read it through twice. That's not the important thing. The important thing is to every time you read the Word of God, it just becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And then the Lord begins to reveal to you things, and you wonder whether you're reading the same Bible. I don't know whether you people get to that level, but I read and I'm saying, this is interesting. And then sometimes, read the Bible like you're just reading a storybook. Many of these are stories. I was reading the book of Galatians, which is why I really believe, it's very interesting that verse also actually appears in Galatians chapter 3, slightly put slightly different. It's very interesting. Paul is basically telling his story in the book of the Galatians. And you feel the humanity of Paul, the vulnerability of Paul. And he talks about the challenges he was going through, the pain. Then you realize, you know what? This is the journey unto which the Lord has called us. So it becomes so sweet. So I just want to encourage us. It doesn't matter what we say here on the pulpit. What really matters is what the Lord eventually writes down in your heart. And the important thing is sometimes the Lord will just take what you read and he himself begins to teach you to expound that. And that's my prayer. So let me ask each one of you if you can stand for 1 minute and raise your hands towards me and pray for me. Just pray for me. Just pray for me. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Please be seated. Remember, I'm trying to follow the nine subheadings, and today we are going to be looking at Abraham and his relationship with God, and hopefully we shall also look at his relationship with man and family, and then finally we probably will look at the lessons that we learn from the life of Abraham. It's a lot of stuff if I try to run through it all. However, we will stop when the Holy Spirit says stop. Even after 1 word, if he says stop there, that's it. If he says continue, we will continue. Amen? And welcome to Uganda time. So I want us to look very quickly at the relationship that Abraham had with God. And one of the most exciting things, can you imagine God calling you his friend? When God says to Abraham, you're my friend, I cannot even hide anything from you. When God sent people, when God sent the angel, when God came to the city of Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah, he says, can we hide anything from our friend Abraham? Do you feel it? When God calls you my friend. A story is told of a man who wanted popularity and recognition in his village. And this man did something for the king. And the king wanted to reward him. And he asked the man, what do you want me to do for you to reward you? Now, America has never had a king, so you don't know the power of a king. but I promise you a king is more powerful than a president, because the president in the republic, sometimes they call him names. A king, you don't answer back. We have a king in my country. We have kings in my country. You know, they lie, people lie down and the king walks on their back because they don't want the king's shoes to get dirty. I mean, that's how powerful the king is. Yeah, men cannot talk to the king standing. You have to lie down and talk to the king lying down, you know, until the king says, okay, now you can sit and talk to me. That's how powerful the king is. So this man asks, the king asks him, says, how do you want me to reward you? And the man says, oh, king, I only want one thing. Only one thing. The next time you come to visit our community, I want you to call me and whisper in my ear when the people are watching. And the man and the king did exactly that. He was seated and the king calls him and says, hey, you know, you have great people in this community. Consider, for example, X. Come here. Oh! And of course, you know, from that day, he ate all the things that belonged to the king. Because whoever wanted to say anything to the king, they needed somebody in whose ear the king whispers. So if God can only whisper to you, Jesus says to the disciples, I call you friends.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh,
it is friendship. Amen. You know, God is not there to terrorize us. He's not waiting for me to fall in sin. And then he will strangle me and say, I told you you were weak. You thought you were anything. No, no, no. He's my friend. He's reaching out his hand. Let's walk together. When it gets tough, my friend is there for me. When I offend him, he remembers we are friends. Abraham was a friend of God. Father, if only I can be your friend. Oh! It's not that. What more blessing are you looking for? When you're a friend of God, what will a friend keep away from you? Then he's not a friend. Amen? Now, I know there are men and women who are married, but they're married to people, not to friends. Somehow they are living in the home, but they're not friends. But a friend, even when you disagree, he's a friend. You'll still reconcile and come together. We know that Abraham believed God, and God believed in him. Now, let me tell you, friends, God believes in you. Moses, what do you mean, God believes in me? God believes in you. If God did not believe in you, he wouldn't walk through you. He wouldn't use you. But he believes in you so much that he can actually come and live in you. You are not going to put water in a glass you don't believe in. You are not going to put your drink in a vessel you don't trust. But if God can trust you to the extent of putting his Holy Spirit in you, he believes in you. It is yours to let him down. For him, and guess what? Even when you do, he always has a second layer. When you become porous in your first layer, he doesn't write you off. He doesn't give up on you. That's not the end of you. You only need to come back. And there's no story that exemplifies that more than the story of the prodigal son. You know, the father did not even ask the boy, where have you been? No. question is not mentioned. He just sees him coming and he says, oh my goodness, quick, fix food, lunch, dinner, everything. Come on, bring water to flow. Come on, bring it all together. Put it on him. For he was lost, now he's found. The Lord is not here to dig up your history and make you look so evil. He is here to wash away your history and give you a new beginning. In Zechariah chapter 3, we read of Joshua standing before the Lord, and the accuser of the brethren, the devil comes to say, you thought you have a prophet. There you are now, look at him, dressed in rags. The Bible says the Lord commanded for the rags to be removed and for him to be clothed in new clothing. That's what our Lord wants to do for us, because he believes in us. He believes in you, he believes in me. Abraham rejoiced to meet Jesus. Read for us, brother. John chapter 8. Moses, did Abraham really meet Jesus? This whole thing you keep talking about. What does the Bible say? John chapter 8, verse 56. Pastor, thank you for helping.
Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad.
Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. That's Jesus saying. Now let me tell you, friends, there is something the Lord has been revealing to me, and I've been making notes for myself, that worship is joyful. Worship. Read how many times the Bible talks about they worshiped the Lord with joy. It will overwhelm you. That's why King David danced in the presence of the Lord. And he said, I will undignify myself. If it means me looking undignified, I will undignify myself. But I'm in the presence of the Father. Oh, hallelujah. And Abraham rejoiced in the day of the Lord. And King David says, I rejoiced when they told me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Brethren, do you rejoice when the hour comes to come to worship? Or is that the time when you drag your feet? Or is that the time when you remember the appointments? Or is it a Sunday? Or is it Sunday again? Anyway, I will go. Okay. The one will say about, they might think I'm not. Okay, I will go. Hey! He rejoiced when we are in the presence of the Father. Oh, Pastor, that was wonderful. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you just want to be there. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, you know the problem. How many of you feel at home in church? That is the mistake you make. Because at home the bills are waiting. Because at home there is space. At home you disagreed with your spouse. At home the baggage is there. So you come to church and you're feeling at home. All the problems of home you're bringing to church, when you come to church, feel at church. Feel at Jesus. Feel at church. Not at home. Hallelujah. Oh. The mortgage and the home will take care of themselves. When you come to the presence of the Father, it is a relationship with the Father. Abraham was a worshiper. Brethren, the time to practice is now. If you get tired in 30 minutes, can you imagine 24 hours? All we will be doing is to say, you are worthy! You are worthy! You are worthy! You are worthy! Stand up and let's worship him now. Father, permit your people. Father, you are worthy. 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 Holy. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh my God.
We are called to do only one thing. To worship. It is not about me. Now let me tell you how beautiful and wonderful our Father is. You don't have to know English. Oh! You don't have to have all the wonderful grammar. You don't have to have done AP English. No! The blind man said, I don't know. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. Say what you know! You have to say what you know. If all you can say is, Father, good, good, good. Just say that. Father, good, good. He will understand. It is his. It's not yours. Oh, I could continue. But on the relationship between Abraham and God, I just picked out those four. They touched me. He was a friend of God. He believed in God and God believed in him. He rejoiced in Jesus. And he rejoiced to see the day of Jesus. I know 2 days when Abraham certainly saw Jesus. But there is a third that is hidden and concealed. Last week we talked about the day he met Melchizedek. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is of the order of Melchizedek. And then the second one, you remember when Abraham had gone to sacrifice his son? And he looked in the thicket or in the forest. What did he see? That was Jesus. Right there was Jesus. Why was he hidden in the forest? Why didn't he appear there on the altar? Why was he hidden in the forest? Because his time was not yet. His time had not come. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, at the fullness of time, he appeared. The fullness of time wasn't yet. So he was in the forest. The Bible tells us when the time was fulfilled, in the Old Testament, we see Jesus concealed. In the New Testament, we see Jesus revealed. Relationship with people. First of all, with his family. Abraham loved his people. Next slide, brother. Oh, let's go to the slides, brother. Or is it stuck?
No, we got it.
We got it? Great. Let's go to relationship with family. He loved his people. Despite their shortcomings, he loved them. Now, friends, this is one of the biggest challenges for us as Christians. If you have family who are not even interested in you. They have no clue what you are believing in and where you are believing it. They are more interested in pulling you down than pulling you up. And their family, when you meet, they would rather backbite you and bite your back and call you names. It becomes very difficult. Some of us have families that are so difficult to love. Some people have mothers they would rather not look at. Some people have children. Oh my God, I've had people call children names. China, this something. Some people have children, you don't even want to introduce them to your friends. I know children who will not introduce their parents to their friends. Just because they're embarrassed. And then the man does, you don't want people to think that's your father. Let me tell you. Is that for me? Thank you, brother. Let's clap for this brother. God bless you, guys. But Abraham loved his people despite their shortcomings. Can you imagine Lot was an orphan? Lot's father died. And Abraham brought him up. Abraham looked after him. Abraham taught him how to make wealth. Abraham taught him how to fight wars. And as soon as he became rich, he picked a war with Abraham. His men and Abraham's men began. And I think the young man was beginning to say, old man, if you joke with me. Abraham came and he saw and he said, it is not good. But your people and my people should fight. You choose where you want to go. And the Bible tells us he chose the best valley. He looked and he chose. Using physical eyes, he chose Sodom and Gomorrah. If only he had used his spiritual eyes, he would have known where to go. And how many times has the Lord given us an opportunity to choose a place to go? And we have chosen Sodom and Gomorrah. Using our eyes. And we looked and said, Lord, no, you don't want me in this way. This is better, Lord. There is more green. And the Lord said, no, I want you this way. And he said, no, Lord, I want this way. But when Lot was attacked and abducted, I know many of you are seeing this video, Connie 2012, about Uganda. Smart man who, you know, literally goes and abducts children and uses them for all sorts of things. Lot was abducted. And when he was abducted, they came and told Abraham, Lot has been abducted. The Bible says immediately Abraham mobilized an army to go and rescue him. Maybe some of us would have said, ah, I told you, told you. How many of us have said that to somebody, especially to our children? I told you. Told you. Abraham just went and rescued him. And brought him back. Hagar, as soon as Sarah said, now you see you're the one who brought me the trouble. Sarah forgot she's the one who told Abraham to go to Hagar. Sarah did not, Abraham didn't even fight back. He says, okay, now you do to her what you want. She sends her away. The Lord comes, meets her, says, go back. The Lord says to Abraham, take him back in. Abraham pleads with God. Read the scriptures. I'm not going to read all these scriptures because I want to try and cover much more. Abraham pleads and says, if only Ishmael can dwell under your blessing. The answer that the Lord gives, maybe if Abraham hadn't prayed that prayer, it would just be next to impossible for certain groups of people to even get the grace of salvation. If only he can come under the blessing. The blessing wasn't money.
No.
That was a greater blessing. The second thing is, even though he loved them, he did not allow his people to go between him and God. We know one clear example where somebody allowed his family to go between him and God. And trouble struck. And that is Mr. Ananias. Or Ananias. You remember?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Ananias sold a piece of land. And he had a loving wife. They loved each other so dearly. Honey, shall we take all the money? Oh, my darling, I think, let's take half.
Sweetheart, that's why I love you.
We think alike, you know? Amen. And when I took the money, Peter looks and says, why did you conspire? You know, friends, Jesus said it categorically. I came to separate son and father, mother and daughter. Time for separation will be there. If you are going to come between me and my God, you know what I'll choose. You are not going to go between me and my God. Mrs. Job says to Mr. Job, deny God and die.
So that you can marry another one or what?
What is enough?
Deny God and die, and then you do what? Now, Abraham prayed healing for his enemies. This one beats me. This one, if there's any area I'm struggling with. You know, don't think I'm preaching to you only. I'm preaching to myself, actually.
Oh, that's right.
Hey, you know, you're only taking half of what I'm getting because...
That's right.
Actually, less than half. Because I preach to myself when I first read it. Then I preach to myself when I prepare the transplanting it from the book to the PowerPoint. Then preach to myself when I was preparing. Oh, my goodness, I preach to myself like 4 or 5 times in this time. And let me tell you, this one, a man takes your wife, he took his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then Abraham had two difficult choices. Choice number one, tell us she's your wife, we kill you. Choice number two, tell us she's your sister, we will go and keep her. You can see her from a distance and wave to each other, but she will be alive.
Right.
But she will no longer be yours.
Right.
I'm saying that she will rather be alive. And I'll be waiting to her. But I know the God I believe will bring her back. The Bible says when the man Abimelech brings the wife back, God tells Abimelech, ask Abraham to pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham prays. Who took your wife and wanted to take your life? They just sack you from a job, and my God, how you cast that boss. Eh? Hey. How many of us pray for the IRS? How many of us pray for the police? Especially after they give you a ticket. Especially after they give you a ticket. You know, it is easier to pray for our troops in Iraq than to pray for the police on the roads. Especially when you know. But let me tell you, I'm not saying they are enemies. But let me tell you. The people you don't like or you feel hurt you, whatever it is. It could be us who preach. We say things here, sometimes I say to myself, that's not what I planned to say. Where did this come from? The Lord brought it.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted it to meet somebody's need.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham prayed forgiveness for his enemies. How many of us pray forgiveness for those we really think don't like us? That's the challenge. Forgive us.
Pastor was preaching the other time, teaching us. Forgive us as we forgive. Children, your fathers and mothers, especially the fathers, those who say no, I say no.
Ah.
You go and pray in tongues for the Abraham was a man of integrity. Integrity. Now, integrity today is a very difficult thing for all of us. For you, for me, for everybody. He played according to the rules. If you read the story in Genesis chapter 14, Abraham made a covenant with the man whose well he wanted his animals to drink from. Abraham dug the well. The man wanted to come and take over the well. Abraham said, fine, it is your land. The well is mine, but the land is yours. Let us agree that you will use the well, I will use the well, and we will not go against each other. And he gave them livestock, and they exchanged livestock and animals and other. After a short time, people wanted to change. And Abraham said, didn't we agree? Didn't we exchange animals? Didn't we make a covenant? How many times do we change things because they don't suit us? King David says, when the righteous swears, he does not change, even to his own heart.
Right.
Not easy.
Right.
Let me quickly move to the accomplishments of Abraham. Let's go to the next slide, brother. I love this. Just before you go there, let's go back to the previous slide. Let me ask you a question. If this was an exam and somebody asks you, what was the greatest accomplishment of Abraham? Let me get some answers from the house. Let me start this side. Somebody else tell me something. What was the greatest accomplishment of Abraham? The offering of Isaac. Mm-hmm. Let's go this side here, all the way. What do you think was the greatest accomplishment of Isaac, of Abraham? Trusting God. That'll be it. All right, let's go this side here. What do you think was the greatest accomplishment of Abraham? He believed God. Amen. Let's go to Scripture. Let's go to the next slide now. Abraham is the father of our faith. Isn't he?
Yes, he is.
You know, he is the father of our faith. Remove Abraham, and you have removed our faith. Number one. Number two, as the Lord said to him, you will indeed be the father of many nations. And many kings will come out of you. We know all the kings, both in the Middle East and in the other parts of the world, that have come out of Abraham, both spiritual and physical. Now let me tell you, the greatest accomplishment is that through him, the whole world has been blessed with Jesus.
Amen.
Pastor, read for me from Galatians chapter 3. We'll begin at verse 6. Hey, are you still there, friends?
Yeah.
Hey, wave to me. Hallelujah. Chapter 3, verse 6.
Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
Continue. All the way to 16.
Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
The most important thing, Abraham gave us the seed. The seed through which the promise of God has been fulfilled. Let me take you back to the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Mr. and Mrs. Adam sinned, and the Lord said to Mrs. Adam, who is called Eve, your seed will bruise the head of the serpent. God did not say your seed. Your seed. In Galatians, we just read, God said to Abraham, through your seed, the nations will be blessed. That seed, that offspring, that God was referring to was Jesus. That's why when God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, through you the world will be blessed. Abraham said, God, I don't even have a son. Abraham the prophet was seeing that God has a plan to offer a son. The Bible says the Spirit of Christ in him was witnessing to these things. That's why Abraham had no problem offering Isaac, because he thought Isaac is that seed which God was looking for. And that's why God says to him, do nothing to the boy. I am here in the secret. I'm still here. When the time comes, I'll be there myself. And Abraham takes the lamb or the ram and slaughters it. A type of Jesus. The seed, and that's why the Bible refers to Jesus as the seed of the woman. The seed of Abraham. That's why we don't see Joseph. After that, how many of you know about Joseph and what happened to him? Abraham gave us Mary. And Abraham gave Joseph to look after Mary. But God's interest was the seed.
Right.
And that seed was Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says God blessed the Gentiles. You know, friends, you and I are Gentiles. Any Jews? I may be wrong. Any Jews in this country? If you're a Jew, put up your hand. We have now become the Jews of the Spirit.
That's right.
We are the spiritual Jews, but brethren, we are Gentiles. And thank God for Paul.
Amen.
You needed a man like Paul,
Amen.
A Jew who could risk his life. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had this gospel.
Right.
But now we have this gospel.
Right.
And even a Gentile from Uganda, hey! Woohoo! I am right in Jesus, man. Oh! Oh!
Amen.
Oh, when the thing is no marching in. Hey! Hey! Oh, when the thing goes marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be among the number. Oh, when the saints go marching. I'll be there, man. Oh! Because of the seed of Abraham. Because of the seed of the woman.
He obeyed God. He combined faith with actions. Brethren, we all have faith in this place. We need to combine faith with actions. Let's go to the next slide. I still have a few minutes and I'm finishing. We're going to finish on the story of Abraham. I'm going to quickly run through the next slides. These are some of the lessons I've picked up for myself. I'll share them with you. If you like them, take them. If you don't like them, hey, come on, leave them there. Number one, long before you show up on the scene, God's eye is on you through generations. Long before you showed up, God's eye was on you. Some of you are Christians not because you wanted. Given a choice, you wouldn't be here. Long before you showed up. Long before we showed up. God's eye was on us through Abraham. God was seeing this Ugandan boy, knowing that if I don't send Jesus,
come on, man,
this guy is gone. That's why when you pray, pray. Pray for everything that will proceed out of you. Both word and life. Pray. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for your great, great grandchildren to the generation when Jesus will return. Don't just pray for yourself. Pray way beyond what you can see. Number two. What you do and say today, especially about your children and family, forms the foundation for your life. What you do and say today forms the foundation for your life. Be careful what you say. For us, in our family, this never happens. That's why Jesus became a curse. That every curse should be broken. And those of you who have been told you are under a curse, there is no curse. Jesus has become your curse.
What is it?
Oh, you know me, I'm operating under a curse. That is why I can never keep a job. Oh, I'm operating under a curse. That's why I... He became the curse. That you may take the blessing. What is this? If somebody takes, if you have a curse, and somebody takes the curse from you and gives you what he has, what did he have? The blessing. You know, there's one job that Jesus did not complete. He started it, but he didn't conclude it. Now they're about to say, Moses, this is a new teaching. Brother, this is another teaching. Who can tell me what that job is? Luke chapter 24. The Bible says he took them up the mountain and he lifted his hands to bless them. And while he was blessing them, he ascended. He is still blessing. He is still blessing. The blessing continues. It did not end then. Otherwise, somebody would have said, you see, those people were blessed, but we are not. No, he was blessing and he was taken to heaven. Hands lifted. He is still blessing.
the blessing continues to flow.
Right.
Number three. Often when things become difficult or strange around you, watch for God's voice or call. Maybe you've been praying for something to go away, and it will not go. Maybe you've prayed for your husband to change, and you've got to a stage where you're saying, Lord, I have to carry this cross daily. You know, I'm told there was a man who was having a very difficult relationship with his wife. And out of pain and anger, he left home, he went to church. When he got back home, he called his wife, honey, where are you? He carried her. Oh, and the sister was feeling so good. He has carried me. And so she finally asked, say, why are you carrying me today? It's so nice. And he said, the pastor told us that everybody must carry his own burden. When things become difficult around you, look for the voice of God. Abraham wanted a child. The child wasn't coming. God was looking for a special opportunity to give a special child. Zechariah was looking for a child. The child wasn't coming. God was looking for the opportunity to bring a special child. Paul tells us three times he prayed to God and said, take away this thorn from my flesh. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. There are things, you know, today, thank God for television and all these telepreachers and everything. Everybody believes in microwave Christianity, microwave faith. Instantly, you want to pray and it happens. And some things you'll pray.
Come on now, tell it, man.
And the Lord will say, I have heard.
That's right.
And at my timing, not your timing.
That's right. That's right.
I'll do it. Mary and Martha say to Jesus, if only you had been here, you came too late, Jesus. He said, only believe. If Jesus had been there, he would have just healed. But this time, Jesus wanted the resurrection. There are things you may be laboring with, and the Lord is waiting for a resurrection.
Right.
Who gets greater glory, the one who heals the sick man or the one who raises the dead? Number four, your difficult circumstances or perceived failures do not prevent God from using you. Each one of us has limitations. If you want it, God doesn't use perfect people. God takes you as you are and uses you. He knows this Moses. I'm trusting him. I believe in him.
But he is clay.
Come on.
This is clay. If it rains on this clay, it will begin to crumble. Your failures or perceived failures don't prevent God from using you. Abraham had his failures.
Yes, he did.
They did not prevent God from using him. What is it that bothers you most? Each one of us has a silent thing that bothers you. And only you know. Three brothers met at a fellowship. And they had to share a room, three people, you know, because when you're so many and there isn't enough room, three people in a room, huh? And thank God they were three. If they were two, people would be asking questions. But there were three. So they're praying before they sleep. One brother says, brethren, I want you to pray for me. As we pray, just pray for me. I have a big problem. I snore. When I snore, it's like a generator is in the room. And there are many of us here, right?
Yeah.
Sisters, you can testify to that, eh? You wake up and you don't know whether you're sleeping with a generator in the house or... Anyway. This brother says that, and then another brother says, oh, thank God. Brother, thank you for sharing. I also want you to pray for me. Because I talk in my sleep. Oh. Okay. And the third brother says, brother, I thank God for the grace. Thank you for sharing your weaknesses. We are really going to pray, but let me share with you mine. Me, I walk around at night when I'm sleeping. Each one of us has something that you are sitting on. You don't. Maybe you have never even told your wife or your husband. You can never give a testimony in church about it. And if you see somebody in the church who knew you in that life, that's why people run from church to church. That's why people go. Brethren. Those weaknesses, those difficulties, those challenges, those, they don't prevent God from using you.
Right.
You're not educated enough. Peter was a fisherman. You are too educated. Paul was, and so was Luke. Why you're not even married? You don't even have a family. Paul didn't have one. You're poor, you can't even pay your bills. I read a statement, Paul, he says we are going around in rags. Paul was going around in rags. Rags. I said, am I reading right? I put on my glasses. Paul says, yes, we are going around in rags. He didn't have the American dream. I think he had the Roman nightmare. Let's go to the next slide. Can you lend me 10, 15 more minutes?
Okay, brother. You got it?
Can you lend me 10, 15 more minutes?
Amen.
So we get through this. Let's stand up. Because it is, I can face tomorrow. Because it is, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future. And life is worth
are living just because he lives. Please, lend me 15 minutes and I'll be through this. The next one, the next slide. Oh, yeah. In order to use you, sometimes the Lord will have to take you away from the family and the comfortable and change your identity. Sometimes the Lord will take you from the family.
Yeah, this job is so good. I have all the benefits. Amen. You know, my boss likes me. Even when I come late, he doesn't shout at me. Hallelujah.
Hey. Sometimes the Lord will have to stir up your waters. Let me tell you, throughout the ages, the church grew through persecution. Every time the Lord has wanted the church to grow, he'll bring persecution. When Christians begin to sleep, the Lord will wake them up. He came to Peter, James, and John. They were sleeping.
Say, you are sleeping? You can't be sleeping. You couldn't watch them for 1 hour.
Pray that you may not enter temptation. Sometimes you're not praying enough, temptation is about to overtake you.
Right.
And the Lord will stir up the waters around you. So you get on your knees.
And change your identity. You were called Abraham, you become Abraham. You were called Jacob, you become Israel. After fighting with an angel the whole night, you fight with an angel the whole night. It was a physical fight, you know. You just dream that you're fighting in your dream and you wake up feeling like, where did all my energy go, you know?
Sisters, pray that your husbands don't dream they are fighting.
They know who they'll punch, you know.
You should always be able to create an altar for God wherever you are.
There is no place you cannot use for worship. You know one of the best places I've found for worship?
Sorry? What is it?
Bible? The car. I think some people think there's a mad black man who drives around.
Because sometimes I realize when I'm standing at the lights and I'm shunned, in the name of Jesus, I break every car and I'm on the Because I'm alone in that car. I can shout, I can cast out demons, I can call down the fire of Elijah, I can call down the blessing.
Your office can be an altar. Create an altar. I read the story. During the days of communist Soviet Union and socialist Soviet Union and communist China, those days when there was the days of Richard Wurmbrand. Any of you read books, the books of Richard Wurmbrand and Andrew Godis Smuggler? I read the story of a brother. They arrested them. And they gave them the worst punishment that could be thought about. That was the story. The place was to go and work on the place for where they dumped all the human waste. And you can imagine the stage, right? And this is where they would take the people they really consider to be hardcore criminals. And this brother found himself there. And there was almost nobody else there. And the unction of the Lord came to him and said, do you know why I brought you here? You can worship freely. Is nobody else to spy on you? Oh, when the brother discovered that, every night was like, I'll go to the dump. Woohoo! Hallelujah! Because there was nobody else there. He created an altar. Right there. Oh, somebody says, oh, what a lovely day she is. Don't answer back and say, oh, yeah, it's really lovely, isn't it? Say, oh, my God, we thank God for this lovely day.
Amen.
They invited you. They did. They can't accuse you of sharing your faith. They invited you. Oh, what a lovely day. Hasn't God been so good to us?
Yeah.
Ah, God, you're good. We love you, Lord. The Lord wants you to use you the way you are. He knows your strength. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what you can do. He knows what you can't do. And He will not hold you accountable for what you cannot do. You know, He's so good that He will not even allow you to be tempted beyond what you can manage. He knows that this temptation, when it gets Moses, it will sweep him off his feet. He will not allow certain temptations to come to certain people. He will allow certain temptations to go to others. Because he knows this one, he will handle something. So every time a temptation takes you, you know you have fallen for the Lord. Because the level the Lord had put you was here. Now he allowed something here to come and it has taken you, but he had put you. Let's finish. Let's go to the next slide. There's something not there, let me just say it to you. If there's something you've been praying about and it has not yet gone away or happened, then God has a greater purpose than what you're praying about. Even though it tarries, His promise to you will come. Do not lose your faith and the confidence. It may take longer than you want. It may, it sometimes will. It will come. And I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself. There are things you wanted yesterday. There are things you wanted last year. And the Lord says, no, it will come. Don't lose hope. God does not always deal with us according to what we desire.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The Bible says, if He considered sin, who would stand? If He considered sin, who would stand? But the Bible says with Him there is forgiveness,
yes,
so that He may be feared. Yes. So that the glory may be His.
That's right.
If, but for us, some of us have a black book on our children. On our wives or on our husbands. And then one day when the time comes, you say, aha, you remember, even the other thing, and then that one, now even you bring back physics, history, chemistry, geography, put it all together. Book of remembrance. But God does not deal with us according to what we desire. So I can't say I am blessed because I've done all that God wanted and really earned it. No. That's why I told you. Abraham believed in God, yes, amen. But the most important thing is that God believed in him. And once God believes in you, irrespective of what you have or what you don't have, He will use you. And you know, there are people the Lord will pull up and put in places of authority. The other day we were talking with Pastor Park and wondering, there are people God will bring into authority at a particular time for a particular purpose.
Yes.
And once that purpose is over, the Lord will say, you've done your job. Goodbye, man. And we are wondering why. Why are more people? Why are more people?
Yes. God wanted that one. Amen.
In His will, things will not always go your way. You will not always like or understand all that happens.
Mm-mm.
There are things you will not understand, and there are things you will not like.
In His will. You know, when we were a little younger, I remember, brother, we were talking with and, you know, encouraging ourselves how we are going to share the gospel and preach the gospel throughout this world.
Yes.
And the brother was saying, and he made a statement which stuck with me. He said, you know, brother, I fear God's will. So in my mind, I said, brother, you fear God's will? No, I want God's will. And we discussed back and forth. And he said, you know, I fear God's will. God's will can lead you into things that you are not bargaining for. God's will.
The important thing is that wherever He leads you,
He will give you the grace to carry you through.
He will give you. I mean, I saw this brother from Australia preaching the gospel. He doesn't have hands. He doesn't have legs.
You all have seen him, right?
Mm-hmm.
You haven't seen him? Oh! What's his name? Pastor, you're very good at catching names.
David.
And he's sitting and jumping on the pulpit without hands and legs and dancing for the Lord. And I'm saying, Lord,
some people just make us embarrassed in heaven.
I mean, you had everything. You had all the comfort. You had all the confidence. Power never went off.
In my country, if you are lucky to have electricity, you have it 2 days in a week. And the other days, you pay for what you don't have. So a story is told of a man who knew they wanted to electrocute. So they asked him, you have an opportunity to choose. We can electrocute you in America. The chairs are so perfect. Everything is done. The people are trained. They know what to do. We can electrocute you in Uganda. The guys there are not very well trained about these things. We can also electrocute you in Germany. Everything is so perfect. Choose a country. And he wrote and he said that they electrocuted in Uganda. He said, why? He said, in Uganda, electricity only comes once a week.
Brethren, to fulfill God's will, you must be ready for the unconventional.
To fulfill God's will, you must be ready for the unconventional.
No. For us, we don't do things that way.
Yeah, we don't do things that way. Which way? Whose way?
In our tribe, we have never named anybody. Their name is John.
Yes. This child is not from your tribe. This child was given by an angel.
I got this child from the temple. Not from your tribe.
Right.
That's what Zechariah told them. So we'll call his name
John. There are some things that you have never done, you've never been used to, you don't know them.
And the Lord is going to lead you into them. And you begin to resist and say, Lord, according to our constitution, according to our culture, the Lord is saying, according to my constitution. If it is there in this constitution, Lord, I am not used to doing that. You know, Lord, in our place, we have never done that. But the Spirit is going to lead you into things that are not conventional. You don't even know how to do them. Can you imagine Mary? When the angel tells you you're going to be pregnant without a man. No, it's very easy for us to sit back and talk about these things like this. We are very easy. When God tells you, take your son and go and slaughter him, I don't know whether, if I tried that to Josh. Maybe by now Josh wouldn't even be talking to me, man. God, why didn't slaughter me, man? Lord will lead us into things that are unconventional. Let's stand up and then we are going to pray. These are the four things I want us to. Let's go to the next slide and I'll just share the things that we need to pray about. Number one, that the Lord will make it clear what He would like to accomplish through you. The Lord has something He wants to accomplish through each one of us. But what is it? Is it just me to come here and be here and just eat, drink, for tomorrow we die? The Lord has something He wants to accomplish through me. Number two, pray that what He would like to do, what He would like you to do, so that He accomplishes what He wants to do will become clear. Because there is something He wants to do. But for Him to do that, there is something that I need to do. So what do I need to do to walk in God's will? Pray for the grace to handle God's will. Pray that you will be a friend of God. Pray that He will bless you and that you will be a blessing to others by remaining in Jesus. Just lift up those hands and call upon the name of the Lord. Just call upon the name of the Lord. Speak to Him. Speak to Him. Just call. Just speak to Him. Open those mouths. Open that. Let you know. Just release yourself. And call upon the name of the Lord and speak to the Lord and talk to God and talk to the Lord. Let Him minister into your life. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you will just come and minister to each one of us, Lord. Come and speak, Lord God, to the inner heart of Father. And Lord God of glory, if there was anything in what I said which wasn't of your will, forgive me and cleanse it, O God, and remove it, O Father. But let that which you wanted to grow up in us, that what you want to bear fruit, that which you want to bring forth fruit, O God, let it grow up in us, stir it up, O God, in us, multiply it in us, O God, let it minister to us, O God, that your name will be blessed, O Father. Oh, Ramba Cassitoro Boboko Sandaraba Cassetrumiki Sindarabache, Lapa Cassetoro Boboko Sandaraba Karashindere Kosuturabache. In the name of Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, that your name will be honored and glorified in us. Let me ask you to get a friend, get a partner, get somebody, get a friend. No, not your wife, not your husband. Get somebody else. Not your wife, not your husband. Get somebody. Somebody that, not your mother, not your son. Get somebody. Get somebody. Get somebody. Get somebody. I want you to pray for that person. Pray for that person what you want the Lord to do in their life. Pray for that person like you are Abraham praying before. You know, pray for that person. Intercede for that person. Just find a way. You can lay hands on each other. You know how, but pray for that person. Call upon the name of the Lord for that person. Call upon the name of the Lord for that person. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord for that person. Intercede for that person. Go to the Lord for that person. Break the powers of the enemy. Break the powers of the principalities of darkness. Break any forces that would have loved to still kill, destroy that person. Lift that person up to the Lord in prayer. Lift that person up to the Lord in prayer. Lift that person up to the Lord in prayer. Pray for that person. Pray for that person. Pray for that person. Pray for that person. Minister to each other in prayer. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God of glory, I pray that you bring a blessing, the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Isaac, the blessing of Jacob, Lord God. Bring it upon one of us, O God. Bring it upon each one of us, O God. Bring it upon each of your people in this place, O Father. Minister to us, O God. Bring deliverance, bring healing, bring forgiveness, bring encouragement, bring your goodness, O Father. Bring your kindness, bring your mercy, bring your favor. Lord God of glory, let your will be made clear to us, O God, as you make us your friends, O Father. Let your will be made clear to us, O God. And Father, may you make it clear to each one of us what you would have us do for you, what you would have us do in your house, what you would have us do in your presence, O Father. Make it clear to each one of us, O God. Make it clear to each one of us, O God. Transform us, O God, into the people that you want us to be. Give us the grace to walk in your will. Give us the grace to endure. Give us the grace to push on, Father. Give us the encouragement and the courage, O Father. Give us the encouragement and the courage, O Father. Let your will be done for us, O Lord God of glory. That the name of the Lord will be glorified in us. That the name of the Lord will be glorified in us, O God. That the name of the Lord will be glorified in us, O God. Oh, Rambakase Torobobokoshandarabas. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we break every barrier. We break every stronghold. We pull down strongholds. We pull down powers and principalities. We break the forces of the enemy. We come against those valleys, agents of God. We paralyze every work of the enemy. We release the presence of God. The presence of God at our work. The presence of God in our children. The presence of God in our bosses. The presence of God in our families. The presence of God in our spouses, oh Father. Let the Spirit of God move. 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 In the new world of God. Let the Spirit of God move in our fathers, in our mothers, O God, in our parents, O God, in our friends, O Father. Let the Spirit of God move. Oh, Rimakase Torobokosandarabashe, Orimakareshandarabakasindarabo. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the Lord is doing something new. The Lord is doing something new. The Lord is here. He wants to minister to each one of us in a special way. Oh, Rimakase Torobokosandarabashe, let your will be done, O Father, in us, O God, not as we desire, but as you desire, Lord God. Let your will be done, O Father. 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 Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, hold the blood of Jesus. Hold the blood of Jesus. Hold the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. There is power in the blood of
power in the blood of Jesus, which washes white as snow, and there is healing in the blood. Oh, there is healing in the blood of Jesus. There is healing in the blood of Jesus, which washes white as snow.
Father, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon ourselves. We invoke the blood of Jesus Christ upon ourselves. We call upon the blood and we cover our families with the blood of Jesus Christ. We cover our spouses with the blood of Jesus Christ. We cover our children with the blood of Jesus Christ. We cover our jobs with the blood of Jesus. We cover our workplaces with the blood of Jesus. We cover this place with the blood of Jesus. We cover our vehicles with the blood of Jesus. We cover our homes with the blood of Jesus. We cover every place, Lord God, with the blood of Jesus. For the blood cleanses us from all wickedness. The blood which speaks better things than the blood of Abel. We call upon that blood. We call upon that blood. Call upon the 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 blood. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. Father, cover us in 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 the blood. Cover us in the blood. Cover us in the blood, O God. Cover us in the blood, O Jesus. Cover us in the blood. Father, as we leave this place, we pray that you will go ahead of us, that we shall find you wherever we go, that you will be there before we get there, Lord. We pray that you will be in our cars before we get into them. We pray that you will be back in our homes before we get there, Lord. We pray that you'll be in the marketplaces when we get there, Father. We pray that you'll be with us at our places of work throughout the week, O God. We pray that you will go with us, that we shall be your friends, O God. That you'll hold us hand in hand and walk with us, O Father. That, Lord, we shall not depart from your will. And that you'll give us the grace to walk in your will. In the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus, the Christ of the living God. Amen.